News.
Now on Radio 4, our classic serial. Evelyn Waugh's satirical World War II masterpiece, Sword of Honour. Guy Crouchback's unit's been posted to Egypt, where they're surrounded more by rumour than action. But the chaos of war is fast approaching. Episode 4, Officers and Gentlemen.
Easter 1941. 9 weeks after setting sail from the Hebridean island of Mug, Guy Crouchback's brigade had settled in Alexandria at Sidi Bishr. Here, in the full glare of the Mediterranean, they were declining from boredom to disorder.
Could I have some shaving water, please?
Right away, sir.
As brigade duty officer, Guy had spent the night beside the office telephone.
Hot water, sir.
Thank you.
Brigadier Ben Ritchie Hook had left Brazzaville in an aeroplane and hadn't been heard of since. Hook Force occupied a group of huts in the centre of a tented camp. Tommy Blackhouse was deputy commander with the acting rank of a full colonel. Chief among his staff officers was a small, bald, youngish brigade major named Hound, who'd chosen a military career because he wasn't clever enough for the civil service.
You wanted to see me, Major Hound?
Yes. Anything from General HQ?
No, sir.
How about your sections?
They've finished their signalling course. They're now doing PT under Sergeant Smiley.
And after that?
Infantry drill under me.
Good. Smart them up. Morning, Colonel.
At ease, Hound. Morning, Guy.
Sir?
Have you got those oblique orders for Operation Badger?
Yes, Colonel.
Bung them back to GHQ. They won't be wanted now.
Sir?
What are you doing after that?
Crouchback's leading an infantry drill.
Well, when you've finished, I want you to go into town and find out when Ivor's coming back. Shorthanded enough without an officer laid up.
Ivor Clare had twisted a knee and booked himself into a private nursing home in Alexandria. Wishing to observe his Easter duties, Guy took the opportunity to visit a dark Coptic Catholic church. Outside the confessional, a fat boy swept the stone floor.
Augmentum gratiae et primum vita aeternae. Amen.
Thank you, Father. And pray for me.
You are here on leave?
No, Father.
You have been here long?
A few weeks.
You have come from the desert?
No, Father.
Then you have just come from England? You came with new tanks?
I have to go now.
When do you go to the desert?
Why do you ask?
To help you. There are special dispensations. If you are going into action, I can give you communion.
Thank you, but you've helped enough.
Oh, stupid place to leave a broom.
Sir, are you hurt?
I'm fine. You speak English?
Little. Not good.
I want to know the name of one of your fathers.
The fathers have gone to rest now.
This father speaks English.
Many fathers speak English.
He was hearing confession not 2 minutes ago.
No more confessions.
No. I've been to confession.
You come back later.
Oh, never mind.
Confession at 3 o'clock, when the fathers have rested.
How are you, Ivor?
Much better, thanks. They're all very pleased with me, so I'm allowed out into the garden. I may even be able to get up to Cairo next week for the races.
The thing is, Colonel Tommy's getting a little restive.
Well, who wouldn't be at Sidi Bishr? He knows where to find me when he wants me.
He seems rather to want you now.
Oh, well, dear boy, I don't think I'd be much use to him till I'm fit, you know. Mm. What's been happening in my absence?
The grenadiers are down with Jippy Tummy. There are 4 courts-martial pending. 10 men adrift and God knows how many arms stolen. The Naffy Till's been burgled twice. Someone tried to set fire to the camp cinema and Richie Hook's still missing.
That, at least, is good news.
Not to me. I'm supposed to be under his direct command, so I'm in a sort of limbo. There have also been a couple of flaps. Oh. Once we were at 2 hours' notice for 3 days.
Look, when anything's really up, I'll hear before anyone.
How?
Julius Stitch.
Oh,
She's a mine of indiscretion. She pops in most mornings, brings me Turkish delight and gossip. She'll be here soon.
She wouldn't remember me.
My dear guy. Julia remembers everyone, and she's very well connected. Algy has some sort of job keeping an eye on the king. I thought of moving in on them, but one can't be sure that Julia will give an invalid all he needs, and there's rather too much coming and going, generals and people. How are things with you?
I think I may have just met an enemy agent.
Oh, really? Where?
In church. A priest who asked rather too many questions.
Not much to shoot a chap on, even a clergyman. No. Oh, there she is. Julia, over here.
Excuse me, sir.
Papers from GHQ, sir. Need your signature.
Put them on my desk, Sergeant Smiley.
Sir.
That looks like the Commander-in-Chief's car. Are we expecting a visit? Not that I've been told, sir.
Oh, it's you, Crouchback. Thought for a moment that was the CNC's car.
It is.
What's it doing here? The driver has no business to fly the CNC's flag without the CNC being inside.
He was inside. I had lunch with him at Julia Stitch's. The CNC kindly sent me back in his car.
The CNC? You aren't by any chance trying to pull my leg, are you, Crouchback?
I'd never dare. The CNC asked me to apologize to the Colonel. He would have liked to stop, but he had to get on to Cairo.
Really? Anything else?
He spoke of the problems of shipping. They plague him.
Do they indeed? Very well, Crashback. Carry on.
I ought to report. I think I encountered an enemy agent in church today.
Most amusing.
The Germans are trying to burn down our cities. They rain down incendiary bombs from the sky.
While Guy languished in Sidi Bishr, his former wife, Virginia, was experiencing the effects of the home front.
Kirsty? Virginia!
Oh, how are you, darling?
Oh, getting by.
And Ian?
He's in the RAF.
Oh, well, I bet he looks dashing in blue.
Look, we should take cover. There's a shelter at the Dorchester. Come on.
Kirsty was a good wife to Lord Ian Kilbannock. Personable, faithful, even-tempered and economical, she was, in short, the antithesis of Virginia Troy.
How's your war been so far?
Pretty bloody, actually.
Have you lost people?
No, but I'm horribly hard up.
What about Mr. Troy?
Oh, he's in America, and the war's not being kind to his business, so, well, the truth is I'm broke.
I'm sorry to hear that. Ian bumps into Guy from time to time. He's in the Halberdiers.
I know. When I was at Claridge's, we had dinner. A rather disastrous evening.
Oh, dear. Where are you staying now?
Nowhere in particular. You could say I'm homeless. Oh, I love your siren suit.
I wear it for work.
Yeah. Work?
Number 6 Transit Camp, London District. Are you really homeless?
Yeah, living on friends and favours.
Well, if you're stuck for a bed, I suppose I could squeeze you in.
Oh, darling. Could you really?
And if you need money, I might be able to get you some paid work in the canteen.
Oh, Kirsty, you are an angel.
There you are, sir. One cup of tea.
Thanks, love.
How are you finding it?
I'm rather enjoying playing the part. And I love the overalls. I may take to wearing them all the time after the war.
Here comes Scotty. You'll like him. He's perfectly awful.
Good evening, beautiful.
No kilts today?
Not today. How about a packet of players from under the counter?
Hello, Trimmer.
In his empty days, Trimmer had given much thought to his escapade with Virginia in Glasgow. She had become a hallowed memory. He wished Virginia were now alone. He wished he were wearing his kilt.
I haven't seen you since Glasgow.
Do you two know each other?
Oh, yes. Since before the war.
How very odd.
Not really, is it, Trimmer?
I used to do Mrs. Troy's hair on the Aquitania.
Trimmer was always an angel to me.
Of course, he used to call himself Gustav back then.
We all call him Scotty.
Last time we met, he practically begged me to call him Ali.
Like Ali Baba?
Short for Alistair.
Alistair McTavish.
McTavish? Trimmer? I'm getting very confused.
You ladies can call me what you like.
Here are your cigarettes.
Top. You like one?
Not on duty.
Well, be seeing ya.
This was not the lovers' meeting he'd adumbrated at his journey's end. With Virginia still much on his mind, Trimmer, or rather McTavish, was summoned to Hazardous Offensive Operations HQ for an interview with General Whale and Kirsty's husband, Ian Kilbannock.
Are you sure McTavish is the right man for the job, Kilbannock? I've got his file here.
On paper, he doesn't come across as an exemplary officer.
No.
But we're looking for someone to raise morale, and I think he possesses talents which are just what we need for this operation. McTavish has what they call the common touch.
Oh, I'll have to take your word for it. Come.
McTavish reporting for duty, sir.
At ease. I've got some good news for you, McTavish. Squadron Leader Kilbannock is in charge of press at WHO HQ.
Newspapers, sir?
Newspapers, newsreels, that sort of thing.
Keep it under your hat, but I'm sending you on a little operation.
Now, sir?
As soon as the Navy can lay on a submarine. You and your section are to move to Portsmouth tonight. Make out your own list of demolition stores and check it with ordnance there. Tell your men it's routine training, McTavish.
Yes, sir.
Kilbannock will be with you, but purely as an observer. You are in command of the operation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Good. Well, in case I don't see you again, good luck. Kilbannock will put you in the picture.
Ian took him through to a briefing room and showed him a map and scale model of the territory chosen for Operation Popgun. Trimmer listened while he was put in the picture.
Obviously, we're reliant on the incoming tides, but the good news is there'll be no moon.
It had been with a heavy heart that Trimmer had reported to WHO HQ.
According to the weather forecast, we're expecting low cloud cover.
Now it was as though he'd been invited to sing in grand opera.
I'll leave quantities of gun cotton, fuses and detonators for you.
He'd expected at best to rejoin Hook Force in the Middle East, at worst to rejoin his regiment in Iceland.
Needless to say, McTavish, Operation Popgun is classified as top secret, so absolute security.
Once again, Trimmer had landed on his feet, and Popgun sounded rather a lark.
The story will be released when you come back.
Well, I'm glad you're expecting us to come back, sir.
Very much so. And when you do, the press will want some background on you. Can you think up something colourful?
I'll do my best.
Good. Any plans this evening?
Nothing pressing.
Come to my house before you have to catch your train.
Hello, darling. I thought you were dining out tonight.
Something's come up.
Have we anything to eat?
Why?
I've brought a chap back.
Oh, Ian, you could have warned
me. Well. This is a surprise for all concerned.
Captain McTavish, let me introduce my wife.
We know each other.
Do you?
Behold, a hero just off to death or glory.
McTavish is catching an 8 o'clock train and we need to talk.
Well, there's nothing to eat except some particularly nasty-looking fish. Give Trimmer some gin.
Trimmer?
Can I hear gin?
Evening, Mrs. Troy.
You again. You do get around, don't you? Be nice to our guest, Virginia. He says he's off to death or glory.
No, just a joke.
Yeah, obviously. Virginia.
You're all being very odd.
I'd better go. I can get something to eat at the canteen. I ought to make sure that none of my section have given me the slip.
All right, if you must. We'll meet tomorrow.
Evening, ladies. Ugh.
Well, that was all very awkward. What's the matter with you both?
He's a friend of ours.
Well, you didn't sound very friendly.
We somehow didn't expect to see him here, that's all.
Look, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to have a bath.
Do you think there's something rum between McTavish and Virginia?
I thought you were all pretty rum. Now, what about this horrible fish? I'm starving.
La mer, qu'on voit danser.
Clear the bridge! Clear the bridge! Dive! 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 Pressure in the board! Green board!
So I've been stuck in a tunnel on the tube.
Pretty much it. Just takes a bit longer.
Roughly how long?
What'll be in your island in about 4 hours?
I wouldn't mind a drink.
Not now. We've got responsibilities ahead.
I should try and get some sleep.
Avec les anges si purs, la mer, bergère d'azur.
Any chance you could put that light out, Trimmer? I'd like to get some shut-eye.
When I finish writing this, dear Virginia, this is not an easy letter for me to write. When I said death or glory, it wasn't just a joke. I want you to know that I thought of you at the last. Ever since we've met, I've known I found the real thing. No, no, no. Dear Virginia.
Okay, you're in luck. It's a full moon, so everything's clear as day. There's your island. I reckon you've got an hour and a half for the job. Good luck.
Thanks. Right. Good. Everyone, into the boat. Right. Beach party, stay with the boats.
Sir.
Sergeant Hughes, land the explosives and wait while I wreck the tower with the squadron leader.
All right to carry on smoking, sir?
I don't see why not. I could do with one myself. Right, here we go. It all seems much flatter than the model.
Very flat. Norfolk.
What?
A quotation from my favourite play. Do you like Coward?
The hell has that got to do with anything? This is serious, you know.
Not to me, Trimmer.
Have you been drinking? I thought it a wise precaution to bring a bottle ashore. I'll give it here.
Later, old boy. You're in charge.
What in God's name was that?
Fox?
Do foxes bark?
Don't think so.
Can't be a dog.
Wolf?
Will you be serious, for God's sake?
I had an aunt who was allergic to dogs.
If it's a dog, we're in trouble.
Shh. Just shh. There. It's gone quiet. Maybe the whole thing was a hallucination. Shall we push on?
All right. But you better draw your pistol. Ooh. Follow the line of that roof. Then, 11 o'clock, about half a mile away, there's your tower. It doesn't look like a tower.
Moonlight can be cruelly deceptive, Amanda.
What the hell did you do that for?
I didn't mean to.
Kiela!
Brilliant! You've woken half the neighborhood. She's got a shotgun. I'm off to Trimmer! What happened?
Are you hit?
Oh, tripped over something.
A railway line. There shouldn't be a railway here. I reckon we're on the French mainland.
What? Give me that bottle.
Well, steady on, old boy. One of us ought to be sober, and it's not going to be me.
I think I've broken something.
I shouldn't sit here too long. There's a train coming.
Help me get up. I don't think anything's broken.
Of course not.
Why, of course not? I came out of a cropper.
I'm greatly relieved you're uninjured. How about we get out of here and go home?
Where are the rest of the men?
Went inland, sir, after the train passed.
What for?
Dunno, sir. They just told us to wait here, sir.
All right. Carry on and keep your eyes open.
Sir?
Now what?
We wait.
Oh, it's bloody cold.
Here. Have another nip.
Thanks.
I don't suppose we can go back to the ship in one of them dinghies, leave them to follow?
No.
No.
Let's give them till 0+60.
But what if they've been captured? There's probably a howling mob of Gestapo looking for us with bloodhounds.
Sir! A flash of a torch!
I think it's them. Right, move out.
What in God's name?
Sergeant Hughes! What was that?
Gun cone, sir! Well, we saw the train go by, and not having heard from the captain, I went up with some of the lads and laid a charge.
Splendid! What? Heroic!
I wouldn't say that, sir. I just thought we might as well show the Jerrys we've been here.
In a day or two, you're all going to wake up and find yourselves heroes. Whiskey?
Don't mind if I do,
sir. For God's sake, get in the boat and let's get out of here!
Yes, sir.
Be of good cheer, Master Trimmer, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. Ha!
By luck than judgment, I think we can broadly qualify Operation Popgun a success.
Thank you, sir.
I hear McTavish nearly got you all killed.
There were one or two hairy moments, sir.
Well done, Kilbannock. Just what was needed.
Thank you, General.
We must get a military medal for the sergeant, and McTavish ought to have something. Not quite a DSO, perhaps, but certainly an MC.
You don't think of putting me in for anything, sir?
Nope. All I want from you is a citation for McTavish.
Right. Well, just give me 10 minutes, sir.
Captain McTavish trained and led a small raiding force which landed on the coast of occupied France. On landing, he showed a complete disregard for personal safety. He showed exemplary coolness.
I've pitched it pretty low for the official citation. When we release it to the press, we might add a little colour.
Yes. Well done, Kilbannock. That ought to do it.
After a daring raid on the French coast, Captain McTavish returns home to a hero's welcome. In peacetime, a barber by trade, but when war came along, this brave young Highlander downed scissors and picked up a Bren gun.
You've overdone it this time, Kilbannock.
What, Trimmer, sir?
Trimmer, McTavish, whatever it's called. You've gone and got the politicians interested, and now we're stuck with them for the rest of the war.
You know, I've been thinking about Trimmer, and I've discovered he's got sex appeal.
Nonsense!
Really, sir, since his outing to France, the Ministries of Information, Supply, Aircraft Production and the Foreign Office are all after him. They want a hero to boost civilian morale and Anglo-American friendship. You can give him whatever rank you please and then second him indefinitely.
It's an idea.
One further suggestion, sir.
Well?
Could you get him out of London? He's always hanging around my house these days.
With Rommel's success in Greece, Hook Force were the only fighting troops left in Alexandria. They were assigned a role in the defense of the city in the event of a German breakthrough. At last, in the third week of May, war came to Major Hound.
Is it true we're off to Crete any moment, sir?
Nonsense, Crashback.
I heard we're going to assist with the retreat.
Really? Where do you hear these rumors?
Ten, Commander.
It doesn't occur to you, I suppose, that we have a priority commitment in the defence of Alexandria?
I gathered that Crete was the first priority at the moment.
The garrison there is larger than they can supply as it is.
I dare say I'm wrong.
Well, of course you're wrong, and you should know better than to listen to gossip. Besides, this brigade hasn't the equipment for defensive action.
Then why are we defending Alexandria?
Oh, that would be in an emergency.
Perhaps there's an emergency in Crete.
I'm not arguing with you, Crouchback, I'm telling you. Why the hell doesn't the orderly empty these ashtrays? Now, what's your section doing this morning?
Drawing maps of Crete.
Who authorised that?
I took it upon myself.
You had no business to.
Morning, Colonel.
At ease, gentlemen. Anything through from Cairo yet?
The mail has gone to the registry, Colonel. Nothing of immediate importance.
Typical. No one at GHQ starts work before 10, but I tell you, the wires will start buzzing any minute, so you'd better get a warning order to the unit. Suppose you know we're off to Crete.
Yes, I had heard a rumour. So, back to the canal area for reorganisation.
Christ, no. The destroyers are ready and waiting for us. Collect some maps for issue down to section leaders, will you, Guy?
All laid on, Colonel.
Oh, well done, Hound.
Wish me luck.
as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I
go. Oh, God.
Feeling rough?
Like death.
Have you eaten?
Not since we came aboard.
Sometimes it's better to have something inside you.
Can we change the subject? Are you aware that Corporal Major Ludovic is keeping a private diary?
No.
No, it's contrary to regulations to take a diary onto the front line.
Yes.
Well, you'd better warn him. Oh, Lord.
Perhaps some tea?
No. Oh. Oh, God.
Captain Crouchback despises. Captain Crouchback despises Major Hound. Colonel Blackhouse finds him useful. I am barely aware of Major Hound's existence. It is in order to fix him in my mind that I have set down these observations.
I'd like a word, Ludovic.
Sir?
It's come to my ears that you're keeping a diary.
More of a journal, sir. A collection of pensées, if you prefer.
You realise that anything written which is liable to fall into enemy hands is subject to censorship?
So I've always understood, sir.
Is that the diary?
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid I must ask to have a look.
Very good, sir. I don't know if you'll be able to read my writing, sir. I left my typewriter in camp, sir, along with the rest of the office equipment.
Captain Crouchback has gravity. He is the ball of lead which, in a vacuum, falls no faster than a feather. Well, I don't think that compromises security in any way.
Oh, good, sir.
Though I'm not sure how I meant to take it.
It wasn't intended for your eyes, sir.
No. As a matter of fact, I've never believed that theory about feathers in a vacuum.
No, sir, it sounds totally against nature. I merely employed it figuratively. May I have it back then, sir?
Yes. Look, just be careful what you write, Ludovic.
Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
Jesus! God in heaven!
Tommy?
Help me up, guy.
Support the Colonel's other arm, Ludovic. No, forget it. Go and fetch a medical officer. What happened?
Bloody boot nails on the metal ladder. I think I've broken my bloody leg.
He had. The sea finally abated as the ship rounded the eastern point of Crete.
Excuse me, sir.
What is it, Ludovic?
Just thought you'd like to know we're being approached by a military landing craft.
At last. Right. Yeah. All men on deck for immediate disembarkation.
Wounded
coming aboard!
What? No! Who's there? Is there anyone from movement control? I've got wounded men here!
They must go back! Take them back! Land the wounded, come back empty for us! Land us and then take on the wounded! Too late, sir! Get back! You can't possibly come aboard while we're here!
Get that gear into the way!
Do something, Crouchback!
Sir!
Stop them!
Hey! Hey! Are you in charge of this lot?
Yes! And as soon as they're aboard, I cast off!
We've got to get ashore!
I've got another journey after this. With 200 more wounded and a Greek general. Then I'll sink the boat, come aboard myself, and it's goodbye, Crete!
What's going on?
It's over, mate. Everyone's packing up.
When finally they were able to land, they found Crete had been dive-bombed by Stukas, and Major Hound's liaison officer had been killed. Surrounded by the dead, wounded, and exhausted, Guy, Hound, Ludovic, and a small unit set out to find Cree Force HQ in order to help manage the retreat. Unfortunately, no one seemed to know where Cree Force HQ was. Meanwhile, in London, Trimmer was adjusting to his new role.
Night and day, you are the one.
Anthony?
Only you.
Are you ready, Trimmer?
And
under the sun.
Trimmer.
We're going to the Savoy to meet the American press.
I've met them.
Not these ones. They're great fellows.
They're all great fellows.
Well, these ones are syndicated all over the United States.
Night and day.
If you don't stop warbling and get a move on, I'll have you sent back to your regiment in Iceland.
All right, keep your hair on.
To smarten yourself up.
Well, you better tell me who I'm meeting so I can pretend to have heard of them.
There are three. Duns and Schlum are naturally anti-fascist. Unfortunately, Joe Mulligan's got doubts. He's Boston Irish and doesn't awfully care for the British.
I'm sick of the press. The Daily Beast are calling me the Demon Barber. I hope you didn't feed them that.
No, I wish I'd thought of it.
I'm supposed to be lunching with Virginia.
I'll get you out of that.
I don't want to be got out of it.
Sorry, but duty calls. Is that a shaving cut? For God's sake, go and clean it up while I call her.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir.
Yes.
Hello?
Virginia, Ian. Colonel Trimmer, the Demon Barber, regrets he's unable to lunch with you today. His country needs him. Sorry about that.
Well, it never occurred to me to lunch with him. Oh, Ian, do something, will you, for an old friend?
What?
Persuade your young hero that he utterly nauseates me.
Isn't that a little unkind?
Well, phrase it how you will. There are dozens of girls eager to go out with him. Why must he pick on me?
He says there's a voice within him keeps repeating, you, you, you.
Oh, tell him to go to hell.
You do realise he constitutes our sole contribution to the war effort to date. That accent, the smile, the hair. He's absolutely cut out to be a great national figure. A month ago, he was all bounce. Not today. I doubt he'll last the summer.
Well, you mean you want me to be nice to him?
Well, you were nice to him in Glasgow.
That was nothing. Bit of fun, not like this.
Well, he thinks he's in love with you.
Oh.
Why don't you lay off Virginia? There's nothing in it for you.
But there is. There was. If I tell you, back in Glasgow,
I'm the last man to confide in when it comes to matters of love. But take my advice. Forget her. Anyway, I've got a great treat in store for you.
Duns, Schlum and Mulligan, not my types.
They're good chaps. And once we've finished meeting the press, I'm going to take you on a tour of the factories.
Thrilling.
You're going to boost production, Trimmer. Lunch hour talks, canteen dances, forget Virginia. There'll be all sorts of delicious girls. You're in for a lovely time. The Midlands, the North.
Oh, good.
But first, you must do your bit for Anglo-American relations with Duns, Schlum
and Mulligan. Yes.
Having failed to find Kree Force HQ, Guy, Hound, Ludovic and their men drove without lights through the night and slept in a bombed olive grove.
Time we were brewing up, Corporal Major.
No tea, sir. And no water, except what's in our bottles. I was advised not to light a fire, sir, on account of the hostile aircraft. Last night, I got into a conversation with an Australian sergeant, sir. Apparently, men have been shooting officers and stealing their motor vehicles. He suggested that he and I should adopt the practice. Naturally, I rejected the suggestion with scorn. Right, better get myself spruced up, sir.
Crouch back.
Hmm?
Was Ludovic trying to be insolent just now?
I think he was trying to be funny.
Hmm. Was he? Do you mind if I call you Guy?
Not particularly.
My friends call me Fido. I don't altogether like the look of things, Guy.
Nor do I, Fido.
What's more, I'm damned hungry.
Take cover!
Anyone hurt? Any casualties? Or fighter?
May I suggest, sir, that I take a couple of men and go with Captain Crouch back to see if we can pick up some rations.
Whatever you think best. Just get on with it.
Sea and land seemed empty. The sky alone throbbed with life. But for the moment, the enemy had lost interest in trucks.
I don't know what's over there, but whatever it is, it's getting a pounding.
Poor bastards.
According to this map, we ought to be near 10, Commander. Pull over. Use those trees for cover.
Right.
I'll do a recce.
Guy found a plantation full of trenches, the trenches full of men huddled, half asleep. Pay clerks, hospital orderlies, aerodrome ground staff, tank crews without tanks, gunners without guns. A few dead.
Keep down.
We're snipers.
Are you 10 Commando?
No, we are Cree Force.
Oh, good. Where's HQ?
Don't know. I think they retreated into the Oaks back there. The order is to abandon the island.
Who are you with?
Hook Force.
We need supplies.
Well, if we passed an abandoned warehouse about 2 miles that way, right, you might find something.
Thanks.
There you are.
We scavenged what we could from an abandoned warehouse.
What have you got?
Cheese, ice cream cones, cases of sardines, and some wine, sir.
Well, that's something.
Nothing that requires fire.
Stukas! Take cover! Any wounded? Any casualties?
Thanks, yeah.
One of the men I spoke to said Cree Force HQ has retreated back into the hills.
Right, let's eat, rest, then head out.
They're coming back!
What on earth are they after?
Keep quiet, Crouchback!
Well, they can't possibly hear us!
Shut up!
If we stuck a Bren on a tripod, we couldn't miss!
Don't move! I forbid you to move! Oh, God!
They're strafing the field beneath us. I reckon they're clearing a way for their infantry to come round our flanks.
Will you shut up? I won't tell you again. Oh, this is hell.
When the bombing subsided, peace returned once again. As ordered by Hound, they ate. Then Guy moved away and found a place to lie with fewer thorns. He lay looking up into the sky. The moon rode clear above them, a fine, opaque, white brushstroke on the rim of her disk of shadow. And then he was asleep.
Guy.
What?
We're moving.
Where's the lorry? Where's Ludovic?
We won't be seeing him again.
You think he's been captured?
Whatever's happened, he's been gone all night, and we've got to get moving. There's enemy all around us, closing in on the road from both sides.
How do you know?
The commandos are engaging them lower down, and we've no transport, so we'll have to go on foot and get as far as we can by daybreak.
Can we rest, Fyder?
Not here. There's no cover.
Can we at least slow down?
We have a good hour of darkness still. We should push on while we can.
Well, I can't.
Very well.
Guy lay down and slept fitfully. Fido did not. He clasped his knees and brooded. He had fallen among thieves. He considered the plain treachery of Ludovic and began framing the charges for a court-martial.
How far do you think we came last night?
Maybe 12 miles.
Right.
Did you finish your rations yesterday?
Yes.
I'm starving.
I'm thirsty.
There might be some eggs or something in that last village. You could go down.
Oh.
Left alone, Fido removed his boots and socks and dabbled his feet in a stagnant pond. He felt dizzy and inert. Every movement required forethought, decision, and effort. He found a dried-up culvert running under the road, wide, clean, keenly inviting. Once inside, the curve of the drainpipe comforted his aching back. Like a hunted fox, or an air marshal under a billiard table, he crouched in torpor.
Hello? 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 I'm English. I need water. Idor. Idra. Ipsa. Never mind them. I'm sorry.
English?
What's the matter?
You come.
Where?
Yes. Yes, you come.
In a small yard was a young English soldier, motionless on a stretcher. Although dead, he appeared undamaged and lay like an effigy on a tomb, like those of Guy's ancestors back in Santa Dulcina. Only the blue bottles that clustered round the boy's lips and eyes proclaimed that he was flesh. Why was he here? Who was this girl?
There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry.
A precept of military education came to Guy's mind. The officer in command of a burial party is responsible for collecting the red ID discs and forwarding them to records. The green disc remains on the body. If in doubt, gentlemen, remember that green is the colour of putrefaction. Guy knelt and took the disc from the cold breast. He read a number, a name, a designation.
Roman Catholic. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed in the mercy of God rest in peace.
He stood. The blue bottles returned to the peaceful young face. Guy saluted and passed on. Huddled inside his drainpipe,
oh God.
Fido was stricken with a bad case of hiccups.
Mrs. Torp, filthy bloody rat. Bugger off. Shoo. Car.
Hey! Stop! Stop! What do you want?
Brigade Major Hansa. I've got to get to headquarters.
No room. My BM's in a bad way. I've got to get him to a dressing station.
I'm with Hook Force. I've an urgent personal report for the commanding officer of Cree Force.
You're Hook Force? You're forming the rear guard?
Yes, sir. The CO wants my report at once.
I reckon that gives you priority. Sorry, Giles. We'll have to hop out and walk from here.
What?
Excuse me. Sorry.
Wait. Come back.
Stumbling along in the full heat of the day, Guy came to another village. It was a place of some size, with roads and tracks converging on a market square. Of the original inhabitants, there was no sign, but there were English soldiers posted in doorways. Halberdiers.
Captain Crouchback, is that you?
Guy had first met Colonel Tickeridge whilst visiting his father at the Marine Hotel. Tickeridge was then a major in the Halberdiers, and it was thanks to him that Guy finally secured a commission.
And you're supposed to be with Hook Force?
Yes, sir. I don't suppose you've seen them.
No. You could do with a shave.
I could do with something to eat, sir.
Oh, come inside. Food will be here soon.
I can't say how glad I am to see the Halberdiers.
So, we're supposed to hold our present line till midnight, then fall back to the beach perimeter. After that, we're in the hands of the Navy. Don't know how that'll work out. I don't suppose there's anything I could do for you, Colonel.
Well, not unless you can lay on artillery support and a few squadrons of fighter aircraft. Either that or bring on the dancing girls.
Oh, afraid not, sir. Isn't there a platoon you could let me take over?
No, and you aren't under my command. You can't put in for a cross-posting in the middle of a battle. You know, that's not how the army works.
Rebuffed but refreshed, Guy took his leave and once again set off on foot in search of his section. Soon after midnight, high on another part of the island, Fido arrived at Kreeforce HQ, which he found to be in a line of caves.
Who goes there?
Brigade Major Hound.
ID, sir.
Here. I have an urgent personal report for the General Officer Commanding.
Follow the path up to the cave, sir.
Now that Fido's weary quest was accomplished, it was borne in on him that he had nothing to report. Indeed, no reason to be there at all. He was a bad dog, off on his own, rolling in something nasty. He had been led by instinct, nosing out his master. Now he wanted to fawn and lick the correcting hand.
Brigade Major Hound, sir.
Who?
Hound, sir. I've come from Hook Force, sir.
I thought you were on the beach. Men all in position?
Yes, sir.
Good. The Navy dumped stores at the approaches to Svek here. Ought to be enough to see you through till the Germans have taken over the job of feeding you.
Aren't we being taken off, sir?
Afraid that won't be possible. The Navy are doing what they can, but someone's got to stay behind and cover the final withdrawal. Hook Force were last on, so I'm afraid you're last off. Sorry, but there it is. All right for money.
Sir?
Some of you may be able to make your own way to Alex, but you'll probably have to buy boats along the coast. Caiques, they call them. Ask the Lieutenant Colonel on your way out. He's got a suitcase full of drachmas.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
And remember, whenever the enemy shows his head, give him a bloody nose.
Somewhere, not far away, lay the sea and the Navy. His torch was dying, but he lit his way with occasional flickers.
Keep moving downhill.
Put that bloody light out! Keep your head down and run!
Keep moving downhill. Just keep moving.
Major Hound. Major Hound.
I surrender. I'm unarmed. I'm a non-combatant. Don't shoot.
Major Hound, sir. You're not yourself.
What? Ludovic? Is that you?
Have some water. Here. Why are you unarmed, sir?
Robbed in the night.
Well, then, this is a fortunate meeting, if I may say so, sir. If you could manage another mile, dinner's ready. I've always considered it a mystery, sir, that one immediately revives after eating, yet according to science, several hours of digestion must pass before any real physical nourishment is obtained. Cigarette, sir?
No. Thank you. I'm not quite clear, Corporal Major, how you come to be here.
Much the same as yourself, I think, sir.
I expected you to report back to headquarters.
There we both made a miscalculation. I should be safely back in Egypt, but I encountered checkpoints at all approaches to the beach. Only men with officers allowed through. That's why I was so pleased to meet you. We'll get off very nicely.
What you're suggesting is entirely irregular, Corporal Major.
Come, sir. Don't you think we might drop all that stuff?
I beg your pardon. I'm your senior officer.
Well, when we get back to Alex, that'll be quite appropriate, but now we all need to help each other out.
I'll have you in a charge.
Well, after all that's happened, don't you think it'll be more suitable if you'd shut your bloody trap?
Eventually, Guy rejoined his section. Together, they huddled in a cave overhanging the beach of Sfakia, where the final surrender was to begin. It was shortly before 10 at night. They had marched all the previous night and most of the day, arriving late that afternoon and dropping where they halted.
Do you meet in the most exotic places?
Ivor, where are your lot?
A few hundred yards away. I went to stretch my legs and saw a familiar face lurking in the moonlight. This is a damn fool business. Doesn't make sense. Leaving all the fighting troops and taking off the rabble.
Oh, it'll all be over tomorrow.
Surrender at dawn. The men aren't supposed to know yet, but of course they do. The general's off in a flying boat tonight, abandoning the sinking ship.
Napoleon didn't stay with his army after Moscow.
What does one do in prison?
I imagine a ghastly series of concert parties. Perhaps for years.
Oh, poor Frida. She'll be an old dog by the time I see her again. Funny how honour changes.
Does it?
Well, 150 years ago, if we were challenged to a duel, we'd have to fight. Yeah. Now we'd laugh. I dare say in the next war it'll be quite honourable for officers to leave their men behind. It'll probably be laid down in the king's regs.
Perhaps men wouldn't take kindly to being trained by deserters.
Don't you think in a really modern army they'd respect them all the more for being fly? Ah, well. The path of honour lies uphill. So long, Guy. Good luck.
Yes. Thanks, Ivor. You too.
A golden dawn was changing to unclouded blue. Guy led his section down the rough path to the harbour, the quay littered with abandoned equipment and the wreckage of bombardment.
They say the ship's left food on the beach, sir.
We'd better have a meal before we go to prison.
It's true then, sir. No more ships coming.
Quite true, Sergeant Smiley. Orders are to surrender. If we go into hiding, the Cretans will have to look after us. If the Germans found us, we'd be prisoners of war, but our friends would be shot.
But like that, sir, doesn't seem right.
Nothing seems right this morning. Do you know what I'm going to do, Sergeant?
What, sir?
Bathe.
In the harbour, sir? There's a lot of oil and debris in there.
Well, there's bound to be clean water around the point.
Can I give you a hand, sir?
Oh, Ludovic!
Yeah, come on.
Thanks. Where on earth have you been, Corporal Major? I thought you deserted us.
Did you, sir? Perhaps we both made a miscalculation.
Have you seen Major Hound?
Oh, yes, sir. I was with him until... Well, as long as he needed me, sir.
Where is he now? Why have you left him?
Need we go into that, sir? Wouldn't you say it was rather too early or rather too late for inquiries of that sort?
What are you doing here, Ludovic?
To be frank, sir, I was considering drowning myself.
Oh.
Would moralists hold it was suicide if one were just to swim out in the fanciful hope of reaching Egypt?
You'd better rejoin Sergeant Smiley and what's left of the section.
You speak as an officer, sir, or a theologian.
Neither. Well, I've left my uniform at the harbour. I'll have to swim back round.
I'll follow on foot, sir.
Right.
By the time Guy was dressed, Ludovic was amongst the men watching a party pushing a battered old boat towards the water. Guy pushed forward in the crowd till he reached Sergeant Smiley.
They're balmy, sir. And I hope in hell.
I'd say a 1 in 10 chance they'll get picked up. 1 in 5 of making it on their own.
Look at the water that sapper's bailing out.
Anyone else coming?
Sergeant Smiley?
Not for me, sir, thank you. I'll stick to dry land, take my chances with the Germans.
Anyone interested? We'll be off as soon as we can start this thing up.
Gentlemen, there's 1 chance in 5 of getting away. Your decision. How about you, Ludwig? You'd be confident that no moral theologian would condemn this as suicide.
Liberty boat just leaving! Anyone else want to come? All aboard!
Yes!
Wait for me!
Coming!
Stupas! Take cover!
Why don't they run, for God's sake! That's it then. All over now.
They just came to look at their spoils.
Guy saw more bombs fall on the now deserted waterfront. His last thoughts were of his men waiting at their posts to be made prisoner.
Lord, save our gracious.
At that moment in the boat, there was nothing for any of them to do. They had merely to sit still in the sunshine and the fresh breeze. And so they sailed out of the picture.
In Sword of Honor, Episode 4, Officers and Gentlemen, Guy was played by Paul Reddy, Trimmer by Lee Ingleby, and Virginia by Lydia Leonard. Ian Kilbannock was Oliver Chris, Kirsty, Polly Frame, Major Hound, John Dougal, Ludovic, Carl Prekop, Tommy, Nicholas Bolton, Ivor, Sam Pamphilon, Colonel Tickeridge, Michael Burtonshaw, Sergeant Smiley, Ben Crow, General Whale, Sean Murray, the valet, Arthur Hughes, the priest, John Norton, the Greek woman, Carrie Sileri, the French woman, Natalia Fernandez, and the soldiers, Joel McCormack and David Seddon. The narrator was Tim McInerney. Sword of Honor is dramatised by Jeremy Front and directed by Mark Beebe.
New late-night sketch comedy.
One of our bees is missing.
I don't understand. Missing?
Yes. Darling, sit down.
Did you do the check?
Of course I did the check. I'm a beekeeper.
Really? Because you sound more like a bee loser.
Don't.
Which bee was it?
Harold 173.
How did you let this happen?
Don't let this bee tear us apart! Susan! Susan! Oh, Susan!
Small Scenes. Tuesday evenings at 11 on the home of radio comedy, BBC Radio 4.